Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Marilyn Hammond. Marilyn, you've mined your family life and history in your writing and your songwriting. Tell us a little bit more about this. How have your personal circumstances influenced the themes that you've chosen?
Well, you know what they say, write what you know, although I'm very admiring of writers who can enter into the spirit of let's say, a 17th century courtesan or, you know, something completely different. But I think you always bring something of your own experience or even emotional self to whatever characters you create. But I had so much in my life I needed to work out. For example, there was the French-English thing, which we talked about. Then my father was a military pilot, you know, was a war hero from World War II, much decorated. I grew up in the 60s and became a peacenik. I became a dove. So there was I, the dove daughter of a hawk father. So I've written songs and even a short story that was published in a magazine many years ago that dealt with those kinds of other split divisions. And art seems to me a good way to explore those kinds of things. Trying to understand my father, I went back and researched World War II and pilots and wrote a song about a pilot and his wife, based on my parents but based on other people's stories. And, you know, the fallout of the war, I mean, these damaged mm-hmm. men that came home and then raised families. And the children, including people like me, ended up dealing with the fallout from that. And then I got to travel a lot because the band traveled a lot. And an early song I wrote was about people losing the family farm out on the prairies when big agribusiness mm-hmm. was starting to come in the 70s. And that was the song that string band did called Mrs. Murphy, the only song Bob and I actually co-wrote. And my idea, but he contributed some lyrics. So I tend to write about the things that's not directly family, but, you know, so that there's a lot in my own life in terms of what I did after leaving home and the circumstances, you know, when I was a child, we moved so much and saw so many parts of Canada. I have another song that combines memories of the prairies where I grew up from age 3 to 7 and Quebec because that's where I spent my summers. So, yeah, all that becomes great fodder for creativity.
Yeah, and a nice history of the Canadian landscape and fabric.
Yes, Canadian issues for me. I became a cultural nationalist in the 70s because that's when string band, the band, was starting out. And people like Margaret Atwood and all kinds of other writers, we were suddenly discovering that we had our own country. We didn't need to write about Europe or the United States. So one of the songs on the string band's first album I wrote is called Vancouver, and the album itself was called Canadian Sunset. And I've since gone on to write songs about Canadian historical. There's a place called the Sharon Temple in the town of Sharon, Ontario. Interesting, fabulously interesting history. I wrote a song about that. I've written a song about the Canadian horse. Nobody knows we have a Canadian horse, the Cheval Canadien, Canada's national horse. Nobody knows. I've owned two of them. I had one, and I'm now on my second. They're very rare. They're endangered.
Oh, wow.
So I have a song about that. And again, because I want to be able to educate. We have this fabulous breed that nobody knows about and is endangered.
Wow. Now, you write poetry and songs. Is there a difference in these two forms?
Well, you know, I don't write a lot of poetry. I haven't written a lot lately, but I certainly wrote a lot in the early. Yes, I think. Well, for me, I try to write my lyrics, my song lyrics, as poetically as possible. I try to weigh every image and every word. But I think if, you know, with poetry, if you need to write something that's very, very complex or experimental or expansive, then poetry is the way to go. Songs are a more compressed form. You know, they're not usually much more than 3 or 4 minutes. Maybe some of mine are longer. They tell longer stories. So you really need to use an economy of language in songs. And you also have the musical element, which is so intensely, directly emotional. So, like that song about my sister, I could have written a poem, but when you add the music layer, it just somehow gets into people's souls and hearts mm-hmm. more directly. I think we know that if you just wrote a line, I'm walking down the road today, and if you wrote that on the page, it's neutral. But if you wrote it with a minor chord, you know, a sad chord, you know, you could make that sound very sad if you wrote, I'm walking down the road today, you know, suddenly. But if you write it in a happy, walking down the road today, you know, you can. So
yeah,
music can take the same words and totally change their sense.
Yeah. I don't know where I heard it, but I once heard someone say that poetry is for things that are either too big or too small for prose.
That's interesting.
I think that's kind of an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah. Certainly things that are too big for a song you could do in poetry. Small things you can do in songs, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you've also, just switch gears completely, you've also been an editor for many years.
Yeah.
Talk, you know, going from the really creative to the really analytical.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Well, you know, I had a degree in English before I got into the band, and I've always loved language and words. So about 20 years ago, I got tired of touring, being on the road, especially in Canada, where it's winter for like 9 months of the year. So I thought, what can I do? And I thought, well, I love words. I love to write. I know grammar. I'm good at grammar. So I took some courses in editing and apprenticed myself to an experienced editor who needed an assistant, and loved it. Never really looked back. Fine, except you're right. I have both the analytical and the creative side. So when I write my own stuff, I have to try to let the editor go.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's very hard. Very hard. I'm a very slow writer for that reason. So I've had to try to learn to take off the editing hat when I first start out. And then once I've got most of whatever it is, story, song, and novel down on the page, then I try to put on the editing hat. And but, you know, it always helps to have another outside person look at it, too, because people say you can't proof or edit your own work. You can to a certain degree, but not
absolutely,
as much as having another outside eye looking at things, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Now, instead of reading in this segment, why don't you sing us a song?
Okay, I would love to. This song I wrote for my sister. My sister was an artist, and I went to art school for a couple of years before I became a musician. So that was something we had in common. So there are references to art in the song, and also the song, everything that I describe that happens in it is true. It's as it happened, and it happened in Omaha. So the song is called Omaha. I'm in some motel room in Omaha. I'm not sure why I'm here. It's supposed to be about the music, but these days nothing is very clear. Nobody knows me in Omaha. Nobody meets my eyes. I walk the streets invisible, like I'm wearing some disguise. There's a river by the highway in Omaha, and paths on its grassy banks, and a little arched bridge like in a Japanese print, and I cross on its wooden planks. And the slanting light is silvery gold, the way it gets at the end of the day. And though it's only Omaha, it's like a painting by Monet. And you're the one I'd have shared this with, who'd have seen just what I'd seen, who knew about light and shadow and the infinite shades of green. You were the one always took the most delight in my delight. So now I keep these things inside where they never shine so bright. Oh, once there were three sisters, just like in an old folk tale, and the gentlest one had eyes of blue and skin so fine and pale. But someone put a spell on her, and we watched her fade away. And no white witch or fairy queen turned up to save the day. So I went to sleep in this motel room, and in the morning on the floor I found a small gray perfect feather, I swear, wasn't there the night before. But even if I believed in ghosts or that supernatural stuff, I'd be lying if I said a sign like this would ever be enough. Still, I took that feather and I tucked it in with the picture I carry of you, in the face of the unspeakable, I mean. What else is there to do? And the sun still rises every day, and the world keeps spinning blind. But me, it seems I'm frozen here in the space you left behind. So I'm writing these lines in Omaha, 'cause writing's all I've got. But I'm thinking now that it's a pretty poor bridge between what is and what is not. And I trade all the music in the world, all the paintings by Monet. Oh, I would gladly give my voice to have you back just one more day. Yeah, I'm in some motel room in Omaha, and I'm not sure why I'm here.
Oh, that was wonderful.
It's a hard one to sing sometimes.
Yes, I imagine so, especially if it is a true
remembrance. Yeah, my sister died at the age of 47 of cancer, and she was the most wonderful, beautiful, kind, gentle soul in the world.
Well, many thanks, Marilyn. We've been listening to Marilyn Hammond, singer, songwriter, poet, playwright, editor, and novelist. Where can our listeners buy your CDs?
My music is available through my website, and that's marielynhammond.com, all one word. If you Google my name, Marielynn Hammond, Hammond, you'll probably find me because it's an unusual name.
Great.
And you can order them. My songs can be downloaded. They can be bought digitally, most of them. Well, the last CD, not so much, but everything else is available on iTunes or CD Baby. Or you can order a hard copy from me. And the plays, only one's been published, The Beautiful Deeds, The Grandmother Plays, in an anthology called Mosaic 2, published by Dundurn in Canada here in Toronto. And it still seems to be in print because I looked it up. Before I came here on Amazon, it is there, yeah, with four or five other plays by other people.
Well, we hope we can have you back again for another program because you have so many sides to you and we need to explore them all.
Well, thank you. Thank you
thanks
so much.
Very much for coming in today. And listeners, if you would like to connect with us, please visit our website, www.wordonthehills.com, and leave us a comment or perhaps a query or a suggestion for whom we might interview in future programs. Also at the website, you'll find all our programs archived so that you can listen to them anywhere and anytime. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again next week, Sunday at 1 p.m. or early morning, Thursdays, right here on Northumberland Radio 897, truly local radio.